All of us have times in our life that are challenging, that are difficult. Maybe when things are not going as we want, or we are not accomplishing what we would hope to. There are times for all of us that just are hard. And at these times, we may even have moments where we feel things are futile. We may want to throw up our hands and say, "Oh, I can't go on." In today's reading from the first book of Kings, the prophet Elijah is in one of those moments. He is feeling an utter failure. He thinks that he is the last surviving prophet of God, and that he has failed in calling the people of God away from their worship of false gods to worshiping the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And on top of that, he is fearing for his life, certain he is about to be killed. The background comes in the chapter just before today's reading, explaining why Elijah is in this state. There's been a drought that has afflicted the land, and the word of the Lord has come to Elijah telling him that God will end the drought. This is good news. But Elijah worries. Elijah worries, who will the people credit with the end of the drought? Will they believe God sent the rain? Or will they attribute the end of the drought to the false prophet Baal? King Ahab and Queen Jezebel are the rulers of the people of Israel at this time, and Queen Jezebel in particular supports Baal. And Elijah's mission from God has been to go to the people and call them back to worshiping the Lord God. Elijah decides now's the time for the people to really choose. And so Elijah gathers the people and asks them, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And 1 Kings tells us the people did not answer him a word. They did not choose. And so Elijah decides he will help the people decide. So Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to slaughter a bull, put it on a pile of wood, and then call on Baal to kindle a fire to burn the wood and the bull, making a sacrificial offering to Baal. These prophets accept. And Elijah says he will do the same, but he will call on the Lord God. So these false prophets do this, and no matter how long they call, not surprisingly, Baal does not answer. Baal does not bring fire. Baal does not accept the sacrifice. Baal does not listen to what the people ask because Baal is an idol. In a show of complete confidence, Elijah pours water all over his pile of wood under the bull and soaks it, making it difficult, if not impossible, to burn. Then Elijah calls on the Lord and asks the hearts of the people be turned. And the Lord God sends fire on that drenched wood. Fire is kindled, the sacrifice is consumed. And seeing this, the people believe and return to God. Then Elijah seizes the false prophets of Baal and kills them. Well, you can imagine, not everyone's happy about this, and Queen Jezebel is furious with Elijah and threatens to kill him. And that brings us to today's reading, where Elijah has fled into the wilderness in fear of the queen's threats. And he sits under that solitary broom tree, asking God to take his life. He wants to die. Though he has just experienced God doing this miraculous act through him, bringing the people back to worshiping God, Elijah fears he's a failure. He worries he's the last surviving prophet of God. Elijah is experiencing a crisis of vocation. sure that he has failed the work God has given him. So Elijah goes to that broom tree and lies down and hopes he will die. But that doesn't happen. An angel of the Lord comes to him and bakes a cake on a stone, provides a jar of water. The angel wakes Elijah, says, "Get up, eat." Elijah eats, falls asleep again, and then the angel awakes him a second time, saying, "Eat, you have a long journey ahead of you." And on the strength of this food, Elijah travels 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, where he encounters God. Now, you may know about this encounter. It's a familiar story where Elijah does not experience God in all the wind, earthquake, the fire, but instead in the sheer sound of silence. And after this encounter, God sends Elijah back to his mission as prophet, and Elijah goes forth renewed. Elijah goes out to the wilderness, overwhelmed and depleted, feeling he's a failure, feeling he cannot go on. There's nothing more he can do. He has only the energy to run from his persecutors, sit under that bush, and go to sleep, and sure hopes that God will end his life. But God has other ideas. God does not kill Elijah. But God accepts Elijah where he is. God lets Elijah sleep. With great tenderness, God sends an angel to provide for Elijah, baking bread for him, giving him water. God's not angry with Elijah. God doesn't chastise Elijah for being foolish and feeling like a failure, for wanting to give up. Instead, God accepts Elijah. God provides food and drink. God allows Elijah to rest. And this food allows Elijah to make that long journey, fortifying him to walk 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God. And in that mountaintop encounter, Elijah's restored and once again is able to go out and serve God, taking up again his vocation as prophet. This account reminds us of some very important things about God's love and protection and care for us. Though there are times we may know fear or experience great challenges, even times you want to say, "I give up," God is always present with us. God meets us where we are and gives us just what we need in that moment. God comes to us in the wilderness times of our lives in the way that we need and restores us so we can continue on doing the work that God calls us to do. This promise of God we hear echoed in our gospel today. We continue reading from John's gospel that Jesus is the bread of life. Today Jesus teaches, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus offers us the bread of life, his very body, bread that originates in heaven. It is the bread of angels. It is the bread that draws us into the divine life of God. Jesus' body is present to us in the sign of bread, that most basic staple of life that has sustained and nourished humanity for millennia. Not only does God feed us, just as God fed the people of Israel in the wilderness with manna, just as God has the angel bake bread for Elijah, but God feeds us with God's own body. In the bread Jesus offers, we encounter God with us, and we are invited to eat, to take into our bodies, into the depths of our being, the body of Christ. We are filled with the bread that satisfies all our hunger, that quenches our thirst. This bread is our encounter with eternity, the bread that gives us abundant and eternal life in God. This bread transforms us into the people God calls us to be. As St. Augustine exhorted in a sermon he preached on the Eucharist, and I quote, "Behold what you are, become what you receive," unquote. Through God in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to become ourselves the body of Christ, to receive the body of Christ in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, and then to become what we receive. In the Eucharistic feast, we are called and gathered. We are united by the Spirit as one body, the body of Christ. And we are commissioned as Christ's presence in the world, called to be conformed to his will, called to go out into the world in his name. Becoming the body of Christ, when we receive the bread of the Eucharist, we are assured we live in the world, but we do not follow the world's ways. Rather, we are conformed by the Spirit into the body of Christ and follow the ways of God's love. This way of God's love we hear articulated in our epistle this morning from the letter to the Ephesians. It reminds us of our holy calling. The letter says we are to put away falsehood and speak truth to our neighbors. We are not to let the sun go down on our anger. No evil talk should come out of our mouths. We are to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. We are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and to be as forgiving as God in Christ, who forgives us. In all things, we are to be imitators of Christ. This morning, we are invited to receive the bread of life, the very presence of God, to hold in our hands the Creator of the universe, of all that is. Jesus invites us to come to this altar just as we are, with our joys, with our sorrows, with our hopes, and with our fears. Jesus bid come to this table with our hunger and our thirst, and to look to him to fill us, to make us whole, to restore and renew us, and to send us out in his name to do the holy work God calls us to do. Just as Elijah was ministered by the angel and encountered God on the mountain, so we come to this altar to be ministered to by God, to encounter God in the Eucharist, to experience Jesus coming to us exactly as we need. In this bread, our hunger is satisfied, our fears assuaged, and we are strengthened to go forth to meet the challenges ahead, living as Christ's body in the world. Amen.